The Holy Gospel according to Luke, the 14th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Now large crowds were traveling with Jesus, and he turned and said to them, "Whoever comes to me and does not hate father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, and even life itself, cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not carry the cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, intending to build a tower, does not first sit down and estimate the cost to see whether he has enough to complete it? Otherwise, when he has laid a foundation and is not able to finish, all who see it will begin to ridicule him, saying, 'This fellow began to build and was not able to finish.' Or what king, going out to wage war against another king, will not sit down first and consider whether he is able, with 10,000, to oppose the one who comes against him with 20,000? If he cannot, then, while the other is still far away, he sends a delegation, asks for the terms of peace. So therefore, none of you can become my disciple if you do not give up all your possessions." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Happy are they whose delight is in the Torah, the Scripture of the Lord, who meditate on God's teaching day and night. They are like trees planted by streams of water, bearing fruit in due season, resilient in the midst of adverse weather, with leaves that do not wither. This reading comes from our reading of the first psalm. And it reminds me of Luther's explanation of the third commandment: remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. This means that we are to fear and love God so that we do not despise preaching and God's word, but rather keep it holy, gladly hear and listen to it. To remember the Sabbath is to plant the tree of life beside the waters of Scripture and preaching and drink deeply. Why? So that we might bear good fruit. And so that we might become resilient in the face of adversity that will come our way. This Rally Sunday, we celebrate those parents and grandparents who are living out their promise to provide this drink for their children, so that the tree of their life might grow deep roots in God's word, be so nourished that they might bear good fruit. So that when adversity in life comes, and it will come, will it not, they will have the strength and resilience to come through it whole, ready to bear fruit again. This Rally Sunday, we affirm the fact that we all need to continue to drink from this river. So we have Sunday school. We reinvigorate our emphasis on gathering around that which waters our tree of life: Jesus Christ, present in word read, word sung, word proclaimed, and in the bread that we eat, the wine that we drink. The tree described in Psalm 1 is an apt metaphor for the life of faith. Jesus himself has already used it four times in this gospel to describe the disciples who follow him. These are the ones who are good soil, who, when they hear the word, hold it fast in an honest and good heart and bear fruit with patient endurance. And in contrast to those who do not bear good fruit, who will be chopped down and thrown into the fire. Harsh words. Almost as harsh as what Jesus says to the crowd following him today: hate your family, carry your cross, give up all your possessions. Now, it doesn't get much better when we understand that the word translated as hate in the Greek is not an emotion, "I hate you," as much as it is an affirmative choice. I choose this thing over here, so that means I cannot give as much time, attention, and energy to that other thing. I hate that thing. But let's put it in even more context. If you look at the text just before our reading in Luke, Jesus tells the parable of a man who invites many people to a great dinner. But when he sends the slave to say, "Hey, soup's on," he is met only with excuses. "Dude, I just bought some land for a new house, and I've got to take care of it. Sorry." "Yeah, about that. I just got a new combine, and I need to get it ready and prepared for harvest. Sorry. I just got married. Need to attend to my new spouse. Sorry." Jesus turns to the crowd who has been following him because he's the new it guy. He's the one trending on Twitter, the one who draws crowds because it's cool and interesting to watch him at work. He is an influencer. Now, what he says to them is nothing new, but it does put the idea of discipleship into stark relief, especially when you think about that previous text about the dinner. "You follow me," Jesus says, "you put me first." No excuses. No, "just bought a new house, got a new combine, need to get the kids to soccer, go hunting, have time with my family." Now, it's the same thing that the Father demands, if you think about it. The first commandment is what? "You shall have no other gods before me." We are to fear, love, and trust God alone. It is an echo of what Jesus has already said about the greatest of commandments. Remember that? The greatest of the commandments is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. God, in whatever parts of the Trinity you're dealing with, demands first fruits of our loyalties, of our lives, of our possessions. Period. Now, is this because God has an ego trip? By no means. It is because God loves us and knows that it is only in God's word come to us in Jesus that we can live the life we were created to live. Only when we are watered by God's word in the body of Christ, that is God's community on earth, only then can we bear good fruit. Fruit that will last, give life to others. Only then can we have life, true life, fuller and more abundant. All else leads to death. In our reading from Deuteronomy, Moses is speaking to the Israelites just as they are on the cusp of entering into the promised land after 40 years wandering in the wilderness. And he puts it this way, "I call heaven and earth to witness that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Choose life, so that you and your descendants may live, loving the Lord your God, obeying him, holding fast to him." So what does this life of discipleship look like? Well, brothers and sisters, you already know what it looks like to make one thing a priority over all other things because we do it all the time. We have examples everywhere in our society. It looks like a person who sacrifices friendships, free time, dating to focus on athletic prowess and success. It looks like the lawyer or stockbroker who works 80 plus hours a week for mounds of money and things at the expense of family and relationships. God says, "Put me first over and above everything else. Put attending to my word and sacrament over the things that ultimately do not lead to life. Put loving your neighbor, the one in need, over your political leanings. Put me first." And the promise is you will have life, fuller and more abundant. Because unlike those other things, those gods of success, wealth, power, and leisure, God desires that you have good relationships with friends and family. God desires that you recreate yourself. God desires that your life would be full. But to do that, God needs to come first. Because we are God's creation. In fact, we bear the image of God. There is much conversation about what that might mean, but I think the image of God lies in the fact that we can create. God has granted us an intellect like no other on earth, and we have a shadow of the creative power of God. But as the Garden of Eden story and so much since that time shows, when we drink from sources other than the river of God's word, death will eventually come for us. Look at how we affect creation. Almost every time we seek to improve it in some way, we damage creation. When we think we have the power over life and death, death still wins. Because too often the impulse of that improvement comes from us, not from God. We are God's creation. And in the waters of baptism, God has claimed us as God's children. So in very real ways, we are God's, and God does not like to share. Because God knows that anything else we turn to will lead to death in one form or another. Because that is not who we are created to be, and because they are not the source of our life and being in the first place. Brothers and sisters, God doesn't want you in worship on a regular basis because God needs God's ego stoked or to inconvenience you. God wants you here because God loves you. And when you do not despise God's word, but rather drink deeply from it, you will bear good fruit. You will grow, and God wants that. When you receive the healing that comes from God's forgiveness, you will be freed, and you will bear good fruit, and you will grow, and God wants that. When you're surrounded by the love of God found in fellow believers, you will be healed, and you will bear good fruit, and you will grow, and God wants that. When you drink from the river God provides, you will plant your roots deep. And when adversity comes, and it will come, brothers and sisters, you will be able to weather it and bear good fruit. My siblings in Christ, this is not about salvation, but about life. As one theologian put it, when you get married, you don't earn that love. It's a gift given freely to you, but you work on that relationship every day, not to earn the love, but because you love the one that you are married to. Because when you do, the relationship gets better. God has claimed our lives through Jesus Christ. We're married. What kind of marriage do you want to have? A sham of a marriage where people, other people and other things come first, or one that is focused first on the beloved. Not to the exclusion of everything else, but with a clear priority over everything else. The life lived in relationship with God is not a burden. It can be difficult, for sure. With the loss of privilege that the Christian faith has seen in our world, there will be more things that will demand that they come first. This is most readily apparent when you look at parents of school-aged children. I've talked to our confirmation parents about this. I talk with those who bring their children to baptism about this. Sports, especially travel sports, show, choir, band, all will vie for primacy. But there are other things. The best of Netflix and binge-watching call to us, and we leave God's word in Scripture untouched. The lore of family, just a few hours away, or the cabin by the river, pulls us from the assembly of believers for whole seasons. Now, most of these things are good and can be good for us, but when the sports are done, will the roots of the tree of faith in your child be deep enough to keep them from the trials to come? When the Netflix show is done, will it sustain and guide you when you hit that next moral dilemma? And if it does, will it lead you to life? Now, there's room in our lives for these things, but only when we put drinking from the river of life that is God first. We are at the start of a new program year. A chance to begin again, to drink deeply from Scripture, from the Word of God found here in corporate worship. A chance to fill our living with a focus on God first. Even as we work, even as we play, for when we do that, we will have life. Now, it's hard work. It's messy work. There's no formula for how this works, what the right balance is in all of this. But when we work together at this, when we strive for this, our roots will grow deep. We will produce good fruit, and we will have life fuller and more abundant. God loves you enough to think it was not too high a price to send His Son to die for you, so that you might have life. Let us together reaffirm our commitment to putting God first so that we might bear good fruit, loving God and loving our neighbors with all that we are, and that together we might experience the joy of this life fuller and more abundant. Amen.